Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Lads, I am not joking. We need to be on television rather than a podcast. Have you seen
hear,
us?
Hear.
Can I just say what I can see right now? I can see two dashing gentlemen in sports jackets and smart shoes looking fine. And, you know, I'm scrubbing up all right, what do you reckon?
I don't think I've ever seen you wear a tie before, Tim.
Never. Well, that's because you're so busy fighting the man for XFM. I mean, you look like a very tame revolutionary now.
You look very good, Tim. You look very smart.
Very good.
We've all been at the Manchester City game. Me working and these two just
schmoozing,
lording it up in hospitality. But we're back.
Networking, Tim.
They've had a couple of beers and we're ready to pod and forget about the football and talk rugby. So hands in, pod on three. One, two, three.
Pod.
Thank you very much for listening. You can find us at Rugby Podcast on Twitter. You can listen on the Acast app. You can listen on iTunes. I'd love you to keep the feedback on iTunes and the reviews and stuff going. Thank you very much. We're going to be talking about building up to the World Cup, less than a month away now. We're going to be talking about England and their first warm-up game against France. We are going to talk about Sam Burgess. We're going to talk about all the other nations that have been building up and the cuts that have been happening to their squads. Let's start with a little look around the game. JB, hello.
Hi, Tim.
Phil, hello.
Hi, Tim.
So, Warren Gatland's axe has swung for Richard Hibbard, Mike Phillips, as we discussed on last week's podcast, and James Hook. No surprise there, really. But Fat Thor,
yeah,
he's gone.
World Rugby got a little less sexy.
Mike Phillips.
Not Fatrick Swayze.
Well, it depends what you like. I mean, he's got his own sort of appeal, I guess. Yeah, James Hook is probably the least good-looking of the three. Depending on what you like.
James Hook and Hibbard.
Yeah.
But
a real shock.
Mike Phillips, not really surprising given his second choice for Rassing. James Hook hasn't been in great form. But then neither has Hibbard.
I actually think James Hook has been in the best form of all three of them. I mean, he's starting to do better for Gloucester. For Hibbard, I mean, I am shocked because he's a big unit and he was very effective coming off the bench for Wales.
You've got nearly 200 international caps in a out of that Wales team taken with those three players.
Yeah.
I'm surprised most about Hibbard.
Yeah,
I didn't see that one coming.
Yeah,
but Gatland's not afraid to make the big calls, is he?
He's not, and I just wonder if he's done that because Hibbard's playing in England and he's kind of second or third choice, and there's a young guy in Wales, so why not go with him?
If it's a coin toss, then take the guy from Wales.
Yeah, I think that's basically where they're at.
Yeah.
But like, Hibbard, even for 20 minutes, coming on and just smashing people, flying out the defensive line.
I mean, we struggle when we bring off our front row, because a lot of the other teams, like England, can bring on a whole new front row and actually power up.
France.
Yeah.
Which we'll talk about later.
Talk about that later, you're right.
Whereas Wales don't have that. So when they were bringing on Hibbard in the second half, actually gave him a bit more go forward. But we don't have the option now, so let's
We
not.
Don't. Moving on. Toulon are going to play the Highlanders in Hong Kong in a one-off match between the
Highlanders? You don't mean the Hurricanes?
No, the Highlanders.
Highlanders.
Who won it?
I thought it was the Hurricanes.
So the champions of Europe versus the champions of the
Southern Hemisphere.
Southern Hemisphere.
Nice.
Super Rugby.
Will this be an actual competitive game or...?
Well, the game is due to be played on the 6th of February 2016, which is the same day as the opening round of fixtures of next year's Six Nations. So Toulon will be missing quite a few players.
Mm-hmm.
The Highlanders, it will be 2 weeks out from their Super Rugby season starting.
Well, who
so
will...
it won't be...
Toulon will only be missing their French players and Lee Halfpenny.
It won't be a proper World Club Championship, but it'll be...
It's a start.
It's a step. It's a step that way, isn't it?
Yes.
Also, and we're staying with the Southern Hemisphere, and there was some Highlanders involved in New Zealand... linking up the world. We've had England rugby players on the shoulders of fans in terrible CGI. Take that advert.
Yep.
Now we've got New Zealand doing a Men in Black dance with Air New Zealand. Have you seen this?
I certainly have seen this.
I have.
So it's Israel Dagg and Sean Whitelock and Richie McCaw and Dan Carter and a bunch of other All Blacks, Kevin Mialamu.
Sean Whitelock, is it?
Sam Whitelock.
Sam Whitelock.
And also got Martin Johnson, David Campese.
Augustine Pichot,
yeah.
Yeah.
You've got those guys as well. But it's this is actually what gets played in the aeroplanes when you go on an Air New Zealand flight.
I thought that. And the reason I thought that, I thought it because it was 4 minutes long. I thought this is a good novelty for... a minute.
So this is the safety video done, and what you're about to hear is, and Israel Dagg, I think, does a pretty good job at a rapper. He'll give Corbs a run for his money, and the other one is actually supposed to be an actual rapper.
Mind you, how deep is the New Zealand rap scene?
Well, here it is.
Outside of Israel Dagg. Oh.
Here, here we go. Sit back, relax.
This is Izzy Dagg.
Let's get this started, but before this plane's departed, obey instructions from your crew. All out of signs and placards too. Loose items you're brought on board must be secured and safely stowed. Up in the locker, overhead, or underneath the seat instead. This right here's a seatbelt sign, so buckle.
Is this the pro? Isn't it weird, right, the infatuation sports stars have with being... rappers.
Yeah, it's
and the infatuation rappers have with being
sports stars.
It's interesting, isn't it? Yeah.
It's like footballers and gangsters. They both want to be one or the other.
Right, listen, let's get on to the actual rugby that we're going to talk about. And I think we should start with England versus France. And I think we should actually start with Sam Burgess. Now, the hype around this fella is unbelievable. And I was as excited as anybody to see how it would actually play out in reality.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'd like to suggest is that we get this out of the way, because a lot of people will be sick and tired of talking about Sam Burgess. I think we should just get this out of the way, talk about Sam, and I'm going to put 30 seconds on the clock, and we're each allowed to talk about Sam Burgess for 30 seconds, and then that's it. We move on and we talk about rugby generally, all right?
Yeah. Okay,
sounds good.
JB, go.
I was less disappointed with Sam Burgess than I thought I was going to be. I thought it was going to be an unmitigated disaster. As it turns out, he actually did pretty well. Some very big hits. The most impressive thing he's done is slow down a man so he could run in front of him and then smash him. But he got a yellow card for it. Overall, I think I'll have to eat my words and say he was a lot better than I ever thought he could be. So well done, Sam. But not good enough to make the England squad.
You've still got 9 seconds if
okay,
you want to.
Okay, and he's a flanker. He should be a flanker, not a centre. There you go. That's all I've got to say about that.
Phil.
Similar sentiment to JB. I was pleasantly surprised, but I think I've been thinking about this wrong. I've been thinking that he should be an all-round centre who can pass, who can kick, who can do everything.
Mm-hmm.
But what he should be, and what England need him to be, is Brad Barrett Mark II, which is not great passing game, not great kicking game, but defensively impeccable, lead the line, carry hard and smash the opposition in defence. And if you consider him in that role... then he's actually potentially worthy of a World Cup place.
Adequate.
And finally me, I completely agree with the both of you. I thought he, without covering himself in glory, one of the biggest things was he functioned in a back line, whether it was a set move, defensively, he did his job and he never let the team down. And I think that's a massive tick in his box. Obviously, I think if you take Sam Burgess, what you're actually saying is we have got a game plan, maybe a plan B, which is a direct, abrasive, close a game out, that kind of thing, and for that I think he could be great, because what he brings off the field is really, really special, and everyone keeps using the phrase aura, and you need winners, and he's got the mentality of a winner.
Wow, perfect 30 seconds that, Tim.
It was, wasn't it? Well, I can see the timer, so I was cheating a little bit.
Okay.
But one thing, let's just talk about that hit on Sarzeski in the first few minutes.
Minute,
I've actually got the audio of that.
I know what's coming here. I already know.
There you go.
It was a good hit.
It was, and the other one on, was it Lamarat or Dumoulin?
Someone got hit. I've got the audio of that one as well. What does that sound like, Tim? Roughly.
Sounds like that.
Lamarat got absolutely smashed.
Man and ball, wasn't it? Yeah. That was lovely. It is really
very good,
good timing.
Hitter, but I don't think we ever needed to doubt how good he was at hitting things.
Agreed. Agreed.
What we probably should talk about, that I think rightly, and I'm glad to say lots of people have been talking about, was Henry Slade.
Yeah. Yes. Now it's, I've been talking about Henry Slade for a long time.
Phil is probably the biggest fan of anyone I know.
No,
he's not an Exeter fan. Anyone who's not an Exeter fan, Phil has been talking about for months now.
I'm a big, big Slade fan.
What, is he in the band?
The band, their Christmas hit. Jay!
Oh, God's phone!
It's on flight mode.
But I think Slade has to go to the World Cup. I think he's great form. His defence is superb for a guy who's not particularly big. I mean, it showed. I think he was 4.5 stone lighter than his centre partnership, Sam Burgess.
And he allows he possibly allows you to take Burgess as well. Maybe Burgess should be the happiest that Henry Slade had a great game, because Sippers would have been the one on the bench going, oh no.
Yeah, you're right. Maybe this isn't good news for Sippers.
There were some beautiful touches by Slade. Little backdoor offload.
He's just very good, isn't he? But quick hands, quick feet, quick thinking. Just all-round good player.
And he moved into 10, he moved into 15.
For the two of them, a debut in international rugby.
International,
you know what
debut
was unusual about... Well, do you know what record Sam Burgess set on the weekend? If you can call it a record.
Most hyped international debut of all time?
Correct.
He did take up 40 minutes of the 45-minute allotted to Sky's introduction to the match.
Also correct.
Fact.
He was the first England debutant to get a yellow card.
Fact.
Followed by who?
Followed by...
Callum Clark.
Callum Clark.
Who was the second England debutant to get a yellow card.
Wow.
Yeah. Both yellow cards, I thought, were pretty harsh. I mean, the game was not served by having two England... served well by having two England players in the sin bin.
Well, what did we learn about... Because we should talk quite broadly, because this is all about gearing up for the World Cup, so we shouldn't get into the massive nitty-gritty of the individual plays in a game. But what did we learn generally about England, about France? We'll get on to Scotland, Ireland, and the rest.
My takeaway from everything I've seen so far is I think England are the most tournament-ready team. I thought some of their attack was magnificent, and the three tries they scored, they weren't lucky, they weren't interceptions, they were all good build-up tries. The first Watson try was pure individual brilliance.
But he was put in that position by the line-out move, and they sucked all the players across the field. All of the forwards went one way, and it was then the feat him to step.
But
Bryce
he
managed to dummy and shimmy his hips to show as if he was going inside when he was in the air and hadn't even landed.
He just hinted, the tiniest little hint that he was going to go inside Doolan, and Doolan's feet were planted. And he was gone.
But I mean, I would say this as well. International level rugby, he's one-on-one, not with a prop, not with, you know, someone who shouldn't be there, with another international winger, and he just goes round him. So in my mind, he's been put there by the move, but the move hadn't created that space.
Oh, yeah. It was him. Yeah, it was both. It was an intelligent move, but then the finish.
Yeah, people talk about top speed, don't they? But actually, that first...
The change of direction, the
change of direction, and the acceleration over in a 5 meter line.
He's a star, you know. He's a future star.
I can't remember the last time
he's not already one.
I've seen a finish like that at international level, like that good.
I saw Rocky
George North did a couple like that when he burst on the scene, didn't he? But not exactly the same. But he would.
I think Christian Wade could probably do something similar.
Yeah,
and Rocky Dugouni went round one of the Wasps players,
Andrea Mazzi. It was.
That's the only thing I've seen similar recently.
But there were some warning signs for England, weren't there? And if you're a French fan, you were looking at the front rows and thinking,
it's on.
On any given day, we can beat a team with the scrummaging power we've got.
And they've got six players there who can all do it. David Flatman was tweeting before the game that he does not rate Debatty, who started at loosehead for France, as a scrummager. Great around the park, but not a scrummager. And then... offered apologies because his scrummaging was superb.
Debatty's a scary man. I saw him score a try on like a grizzled day in Clermont. And when he kind of stood up, he almost looked like he was crying. He was so emotional. He's just that big bare chest. Yeah. He is frightening.
But maybe not the technique. And I'm sure if David Flatman were here, he would tell us all the reasons how Antonio Weini could be even better as a prop, because he hasn't got technique. What he has got is 150 kilograms of mass to just pile into every scrum.
No, he's on the other side.
He's on the tight end.
Mass. Way! Hero week. One of the worrying things for me about England was the loose head situation. So I think if Mahler's out, I mean, Mahler has now shown me that he's by far and away the best loose head that England have got.
Or possibly in the world.
Yeah, he's up there at the moment.
He
really is important. Vinopolo is an able deputy, but I just feel like we've seen the footage of Corbett Sierra collapsing time and time again now. Mm. And yeah, he won a penalty, but he also went down, I think, in his first two scrums.
Yeah.
Well, and he's just... I just don't think he's there.
I like Corbs. I do like... we talked about it
last week. He's a backup, and you'll get game time against Mullen-Moore. Smaller teams.
Yeah, Corbs is third choice.
Yeah.
I think that is quite clear. But the people should be genuinely afraid of the French pack and the depth, the talent that they can bring off the bench. If they're in a World Cup quarter-final, the last thing you want is those boys coming off the bench. And like Yuini Antonio... Guillaume Girardo.
Yeah, easy for you to say.
I'll take it. I'm glad you said it.
And also the hooker. And also the cutest name in world rugby.
Xavier Chokey.
Oh, bless.
But then
I call my dog
Vahamina as well in the second row. They're gigantic.
It's a genuine game plan to go Para or Tranduk, whoever ends up being the kicker, to actually go scrum. Driving mall, penalty. That's a game plan that wins World Cup
they
matches.
They were playing bad rugby, which makes it even more impressive. Mm. I tell you what, the one thing everyone needs to be very afraid of. France basically lost the game because when they were attacking, they were throwing offloads in every which way direction. Most of them were hitting the floor. Now, if they're starting to do that and they start going to hand all of a sudden, you've got a huge upset. So hopefully we're going to see hopefully a loss to a second-tier nation and then a scrape by into the tournament. And then the offload's going to start going to hand.
Yeah.
And then Picamoles is going to start running riot.
Picamoles did look good when he had that run.
Man crush is officially back on.
Let's talk about some of the people that will be licking their wounds. Luke Cowan-Dickie probably blew it, didn't he?
All Jamie George has to do is hit 40-50% of his line out, and that'll be probably 100% better than Luke Cowan-Dickie.
If Luke Cowan-Dickie goes, I'll say it right now, Dave Ward has got a chance of going. We're in Dave Ward numbers now.
It was not pretty, was it, those line outs?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. It wasn't. It really wasn't.
Well, I've been saying Jamie George, I think, will be the starter anyway. I mean, I
can't
believe that.
See him being the start just because his lack of experience.
Someone described Rob Webber looking like a fat butcher's apprentice.
He's not in great shape, is he?
He's not, but he doesn't look any different to how he normally does. But
true.
It doesn't. I was surprised him and Vunipola carrying a bit of timber.
But they need to be. It's a weird juxtaposition that you're trying to get them fitter, but they can't lose any weight.
Mm. Yeah.
So they're trying to aerobically and cardiovascularly improve, but also stay strong and stay heavy. So it's a real challenge to make significant gains in only 7 weeks.
Right, then, if you're an Ireland or a Scotland fan, you'll be listening going, all right, enough about England for the time being. So Ireland versus Scotland. It was a pretty decent Ireland team that was put out. Quite a lot of first-choice players.
There was a few. I wouldn't say... It's nowhere near a first choice, was it?
Well, it's close enough. I mean, I think they've got a lot of strength and depth. I think Cronin's going to be their first choice hooker now, surely.
No.
Do you not think?
Best. Rory Best.
Ugh. Oh, no.
Experience.
Oh, don't give me the experience thing. The experience thing is an absolute nonsense. look at what Gatland does. He goes, you've got experience. See you later, pal.
I look at that back line and...
Who's the best? Sean Cronin is definitely better than Rory Best.
No.
Well, maybe not round the park, but things you need to be good at as a hooker.
No. Sean Cronin, his running game is superb. He's one of the best. But in the tie, I'd still go for Rory Best.
I don't know.
Someone who will be very, very unhappy with their performance and could cost them a World Cup place, potentially, Gordon Darcy. Didn't cover himself in glory, did he?
No. I do wonder if this World Cup is a step too far for him.
Maybe.
Yeah, it's tough. It will be tough for him.
I think with this game, looking back at it, Scotland have got a lot to be very proud of. Ireland is the second best team in the world according to the rankings at the moment, and they put out a team which included Richie Vernon. Come on. And for a large part of that game, they were actually ahead.
Vernon played well. I was ready to slate Vernon before he'd even stepped on the pitch.
Oh yeah, I had all the jokes written out. Everything
to fill people in. If you're not aware, he's made the transition to outside centre from flanker where he was previously. And he's playing international rugby there.
And Dave Denton was very impressive. Dave Denton and Blair Cowan, well, both look good.
Both the number eights, yeah. Both the number eights, Denton and Sean O'Brien at eight. Yeah. Oh, he looked good in that first half.
Yeah. I don't know. If I was Ireland, I don't know if I'd just play him at six. Chris Henry looked good too.
Chris Henry did look very good. First of all, it's very good to see Henry back after having heart surgery last year.
Mm.
But both of those did look good.
Who's your starting Irish back row at the moment?
He slipped. Definitely.
He slip at eight. O'Brien and...
I'd probably have Peter Omani.
Yeah.
Ooh.
At six with O'Brien at seven.
Yeah.
Monsters. Just
there's
imagine...
balance to that. There's
imagine
real balance.
If Ferris is fit as well.
Oh.
If only.
Oh. Oh.
Do you know what? That should be Toulon's next signing.
Zeebo looked good at fullback. And Madigan had a decent game at
right.
10.
Is it me, or does Madigan throw the ball harder than anyone else in world rugby? I'm not saying he's got the best pass or the most accurate or anything else. He just throws it as hard as he can.
he does throw it very,
very hard.
It's partly because he doesn't continue running.
He stops.
He like plants both feet and puts his whole body into it.
A Neil Jenkins pass. Neil Jenkins plants his feet, not move forward, and then just ship it.
Can we just pause and talk about Stash? What's the situation in the World Cup? A team's going to have sponsors on their kits in a World Cup.
They have their own badge and the Rugby World Cup logo on their chest.
What about the main sponsor?
I don't think they have a sponsor on the chest.
I've got a lot of time for that Scotland kit, but with the big BT logo... Much as we're big fans of BT Sport.
Easy.
No, I thought it was just a bit too... Tim. Look at the size of it. It's massive.
It should be massive. They should be very proud of BT Sport. They're an exceptional broadcaster.
It's BT as well.
And a friend of the game.
It's not BT Sport, it's BT.
It's BT, not BT
General.
Sport.
Oh. Still. Point remains.
And I was just wondering, I didn't know whether... Because there's something about the romance of it. I understand that it's worth a lot of money, but I quite like to have just the pure kit.
I do not like this, though. I do not like having multiple badges across the chest. So if you're South Africa, you've already got three badges. You've got the Springbok badge, you've got a City Flower, which I know is meaningful to someone. And
very respectfully put there.
Yeah. Very sincere.
And then you've also got the actual brand. Now they're going to have four things
Hello
across the chest.
Hello to all our Afrikaans listeners, by the way. In the case of France, they had the little England badge.
In the middle,
it's getting silly now. It's too much tokenism. If you're going to have a World Cup badge, it has to be on the shirt sleeve. On the arm, side of the arm.
Okay.
Do you know, like, the Premiership badges and all the rest of it?
I can understand that. I can understand that.
I mean, it's not like we don't know about the World Cup, is it? Or they're advertising it. We're watching the World Cup.
That's got a point.
We should have spoke about it earlier, but that French kit was gorgeous.
Oh, the red kit, the gold on it.
The red kit. That's what makes it, isn't it?
The gold. With the red badge and then the gold.
If you described it and said, right, we're going to have a red kit with like a dark red, deep, like red wine coloured trim with gold.
It sounds like
the Welsh
kit a bit.
Yeah, it sounds like the Welsh kit, but only it's lovely.
Yeah, but
the Welsh kit
gold
is hideous.
Thread, not like yellowy. You know, like Australia say they play in gold. They don't play in gold. They play in yellow. The Welsh kit's got yellow on it. The French kit has gold on it.
And the short and sock, like the deep navy shorts with the red socks. Wonderful.
Now, another controversy in my mind, a huge controversy, and I said it a few weeks ago, I'm not the brightest man, but why do Argentina play in light blue and white with white shorts against South Africa in whites
with white shorts?
The only difference between two teams is one had a light blue stripe.
That is a kit clash,
isn't it? Ridiculous?
while you're looking, it was a ridiculous kit clash, the Argentina.
But they've got a dark green kit.
It doesn't make any sense. But again, what I love about the Argentina kit that they've been wearing for these South African matches, are they wearing that in the World Cup?
No.
No.
Why? They're not.
I want that shirt. It looks like when I was watching the game when we got back to yours, we were watching a bit of it, the highlights of it. It was on at the same time as England France, wasn't it?
Yeah,
we were watching a bit of it in the half time between England France. So we missed out on 15 minutes of Sam Burgess chat. But it looked like we could have been watching an ESPN classic match.
Yeah.
Because the vintage look of that kit is just gorgeous.
Lovely.
And the long sleeves, I love.
Well, except for the South Africa white kit. Everything was the same, the kits. Even the scoreline was the same as a ESPN vintage game.
Yeah. Well, Argentina getting pumped. And New Zealand answered in the last week, a lot of people have been saying, oh, I don't know if New Zealand are quite the team they were.
Or they're restored. I was one of those people.
Yeah.
There was a lot, if you read the New Zealand Herald, which I don't get the paper copy, but I do read it online occasionally. There was a lot of people questioning Dan Carter, questioning McCaw, questioning, is this the end for the team? Have they got the right balance? Well, I think all of those questions have been well and truly answered.
Well, here's where I stand on it. I think they're... Okay, prepare to laugh at me. I think they're relatively one-dimensional, which is... I say one-dimensional. What I mean is they've got incredible skills, and that's what they do. They're a very skillful team.
Well, no,
that's
to pick up on that, Jay, I don't think people sort of recognise this enough. I think they tactically and their skills are incredible, but that allows them to actually play a very, very simple game. They kick loads.
Agreed.
They just do it really well and they chase well.
And I think last week against Australia, they probably got a little bit out-muscled, out-enthused. So instead of changing their game plan this week, they just went for more of the same, but in a more extreme manner. And, you know, it worked fine. Absolutely fine.
And it helps when you've got Dan Carter. He was again, he just gets territory and turns the screw and applies the pressure with his territorial kicking game.
Drinking from the fountain of youth. And still incredibly handsome.
Yes. Yeah. Makes the right decisions, and it helped playing directly opposite Quade Cooper, who, if it was up to me, if I was Michael Checker,
you'd get rid of him.
I would not take him to the World Cup. I'd say, Bujale, he's all yours. Have him.
Oh, wow.
I really would.
Well, I don't think he's a good fit. For Toulon. I think he would take him to the World Cup as an alternative.
As a wild card.
Yeah, throw him on if you're down by 30 points.
Do you reckon it? Is there a little bit of Quade? And again, maybe I don't know Quade Cooper, and it's only what you hear, and just take that with a pinch of salt. But is there an element where if he's not involved and he's not kind of getting game time, then he's a sort of character that could throw a tantrum a little
bit.
Well,
Quade Cooper is the main event. I mean, if he is not the main event, you're not going to get the most out of him.
Well, exactly. I don't think, on what I've seen, he's not.
But
he's
they had to hide him at fullback. Defensively, which is, I hate having to hide a 10 at anywhere. And then when he was at fullback and New Zealand were kicking, he was poor under the high ball. He let one bounce through him, dropped a couple. And then the high tackle for the yellow card for the penalty try.
Yeah. And
that was just the culmination of a lot of just small errors.
I do think against New Zealand as well, the combination of Hooper and Pocock was far, far better.
Agreed. Yep. Absolutely. That is the way to beat New Zealand. You have to have two out-and-out sevens.
Now, the guy who should be very disappointed with that whole game is TJ Perenara. You're on the field, right? And you're up. And Australia have offered nothing so far. So what would your options be? It certainly isn't put up a high ball towards Israel Folau and hope he doesn't catch it. I think that's absolutely criminal.
Yeah, it was, particularly how well their back line were just tearing Australia to ribbons. Just hands in that situation, and he put the crossfield kick in straight onto Israel Folau, who just coasted 60 yards to score.
Exactly. I mean, he could have literally done anything else with that ball, and nothing bad would have happened. But now you've got some video of him making a terrible decision, costing his team points.
He has had a superb season.
He has.
For the Hurricanes.
Australia are going to be a force to be reckoned with, and that pool is still just can't quite believe it. Every time you look at England, Wales, Australia, one of those three is going out, and Fiji are probably going to go out as well. But New Zealand, there were question marks over them. They've answered a lot of those questions. If anyone was starting to go, well, maybe it's a bit more open than we thought, you just sort of think they're shutting the door on any doubt, aren't they, a little bit? They are comfortably favourites.
I did say I think that they would lose. And they did lose. They'd lost against Australia, but I'm now thinking that might have been their only loss.
The only loss this year.
I just felt there was one in the pipeline somewhere.
And remember that fact that we brought you last week? No team has ever won the Rugby Championship and the World Cup in the same year.
Fact.
Or the Tri Nations or whatever it was.
So Australia cannot win the World Cup this year.
Yeah.
And, fact.
That is a fact.
I have, in that game, Richie McCaw became the most capped international player of all time. Going in front of Brian O'Driscoll.
Did you see the Brian O'Driscoll tweet?
Yeah.
No, what did he say?
Very good. He's tweeted George Gregan saying, second most capped player of all time doesn't have the same ring to it. How does third sound?
That was very good. Do you see the other record that was broken?
No. Was it Dan Carter points?
No. That was last week.
You already had that, doesn't
it? Yeah. He crossed the 1,500 point mark last week. Sorry. Yeah, 1,500. Wyatt Crockett has got, let me get this straight, it is the most consecutive undefeated international games.
Wow.
That's pretty cool.
That's a pretty cool record to have.
Because it includes the draw with Australia last year.
Oh.
Which is kind of a blemish on it.
Yeah. I've got a little quiz based around the fact Richie McCaw overtook Brian O'Driscoll. So we know that the most capped rugby union player of all time is Richie McCaw, a New Zealander. We know that Brian O'Driscoll was the man he overtook, an Irishman. I've got seven other nationalities, which I want you to tell me the individual who is the most capped player for that nationality.
I'll go first.
No, I'll just do it one by one. So
we're going to write it down.
Yeah, we'll do it one by one. So Australia, write it down.
Damn it.
Wait. The one that we've just...
I'm just asking you for Australia's most capped international player. Good game. JB, have you got an answer?
Yeah.
Written it down, yeah?
Yeah.
What have you got?
Gregan.
Gregan is correct.
Yes.
It would have been bad to get that one wrong.
1-1. England.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
England is... Can I say?
Once Phil's got something written down.
I have something written down.
Go on then, Jay.
Jason Leonard.
That's what I've got written down.
Correct. He is the most capped Englishman. France. Getting tricky now.
Right. France.
That is...
Can we come back to that one?
All right, fine. All right.
I've got someone written down for it. It's not correct, but I've got someone written down.
Do you want to wait a little bit and have a think?
No, let's go for it.
All right.
All right.
Jay, who have you got?
Well, who are you going to go with?
Fabien Palouse.
That is who I've written down.
Well done!
Yes!
Well
done. Dominators!
Three apiece. South Africa.
Yep.
It's one of two.
I've got mine.
Is it him or him?
I know which two you're thinking as well.
I'm pretty confident with mine, I think.
It's a toss of coin. I've got it wrong. Go on, Jay.
Stefan. No. It's Victor Matfield.
I've gone John Smith.
Ooh! Damn it!
John Smith.
Yes!
Victor Matfield.
Yes!
4-3 to JB. Right, Italy.
Oh, no. Okay.
This could be one of three.
I've got one in my mind.
Go on, Jay.
Castro Giovanni.
I have also got Castro Giovanni.
I don't need a tiebreaker.
You don't get the point. All right, well, we'll come back to that in case we need a tiebreaker. Right. Wales.
I know.
I don't...
I think I know.
Uh, Okay.
Got a guess, Phil?
I've gone for Gethin Jenkins.
I, too, have gone for Gethin Jenkins.
Correct, which means it's 5-4 to JB. With Scotland to go. Scotland.
Oh, crikey.
I think I know this.
Shame that I'm not Scottish. It would probably be me. Any of us, actually. Oh, no. Okay, I've got one, but I don't know if he's right.
Go on.
Patterson.
That's what I've got.
Yeah!
Patterson is correct.
What kind of quiz is this?
Which means...
We're not getting more.
There's seven. That was your seven. And that is it. Yeah, we're done.
Okay, with Italy...
We've not got Ireland.
Well, no, because Brian O'Driscoll.
Oh, of course, Brian O'Driscoll.
Christ, if you asked me that again, I'd have said Paul O'Connell.
Of course, I would have said John Hayes.
So, to wrap up, JB's won, so enjoy your moment. JB has won another quiz. But the Italian was...
Bortolami.
No.
Parise.
Parise.
Oh, of course it is.
Bortolami just behind him.
God damn it.
There you go. It was quite noticeable, actually, how low Scotland were on the list. You have to go down quite a lot for a Scottish...
Has Patterson got more than 100?
I don't think so. No,
I don't think he has.
No.
It's a very funny kicking style with his arm right in the air.
He only used to take the easy kicks.
That's so. Dan Parks had to take the hard ones.
Dan Parks with like a 20% kicking ratio. Yeah.
The other thing I did just for fun was I looked down the list of all time leading Test players, and I came up with a 15 of the highest cap 15. So in their position, the highest capped. So they might, and it went like this. So the front row was Gethin Jenkins, Kevin Mialamu, Jason Leonard. Yeah. Second row, Victor Matfield and Fabian Palouse. And a back row of Richie McCaw, moved George Smith to six, and Sergio Parise.
Crikey.
Nice.
George Gregan and Ronan O'Gara.
Jean
de Villiers and Brian O'Driscoll.
Solid.
In the centre. Adam Ashley Cooper and Brian Habana on the wings with Chris Patterson at fullback.
Nice.
Bit weak at halfback.
Gregan and O'Gara.
Gregan's pretty solid.
Yeah,
Gregan's so good, he has a move that every single team in the whole world calls after him.
Yeah.
The funny thing is, everyone still calls it the Gregan, well, particularly at lower levels when you get down. Gregan ball, and you know what's coming.
Oh, no, Gregan ball.
Right. So, JB, how are you feeling? You just won a quiz.
I win many a quiz.
Rare occasion.
Not really. And the ones I don't win, I probably have a moral victory.
You believe you should have won.
Debatable.
So, where are we?
Gloucester kit.
Oh, God, yeah, Gloucester kit. Let's talk. Oh, stash watch. We have got...
The stash... Stash...
I need to get the bit of stash... Oh, no.
Sound effect.
I need to get the stash sound effect for this, yes. So if you've been waiting for us to talk about the Gloucester kit, you are going to have to keep waiting till...
Stash! Gloucester. The biggest events in Stash Watch history.
We have been waiting for this one for weeks and weeks and weeks. It feels like forever.
Fair play to the build-up. They have whipped us into a frenzy.
Oh, my word. I have had sleepless nights waiting for this. Is it today?
Yeah.
Is it today? Check on Twitter.
I mean, there's been days when they say we've got a kit announcement tomorrow, and then they go, it's our sevens kit. We've got a kit announcement tomorrow. It's our academy and second team kit.
Academy and second team kit.
It's sevens and academy, then the European kit.
Yeah.
Then the main event.
Here we go.
What everybody wanted.
Right, so we have been, what's the word when you, not protest, but you, we have been...
Campaigning.
Sorry, I think you say we've been disgusted by previous attempts.
Well, no, we have been very, very critical of previous Gloucester kits. X-Blades are making their move into the world of Premiership Rugby with their first kit. They've unveiled their kit, which had JB, let's just look at it, on the face of it, it had exactly what you've been clamouring for, full hoops and dark shorts. Are the shorts black or navy?
They're either very, very dark navy or black. I think they're black.
Okay, well, let's start with a bit of credit. A million percent better. I mean, actually, and compared to the other two kits, I mean, what more incentive do you need to get out of the second team into the first team? So the ultimate punishment would be to wear that second team kit. So that's a real plus. Now, this is X-Blades, and it's a rugby league orientated brand.
Yeah.
And that definitely comes through.
With the shorts.
Yeah.
I like those shorts.
Yeah. Short. I'm a massive fan of rugby league shorts.
They are extremely short.
But there is a problem. I don't think rugby league players, because you know they're rebel and they're up north and you know salty earth
right,
types.
Before you go into this, let me just show you their old kit that they had.
Don't make me see it again. I never need to see it again.
Freddie Burns wearing that MagnaClean kit.
My eyes.
So now go on, say what you want to say about the new Gloucester kit.
Well, because it's rugby league and the shorts are improving.
Actually, before you go on and tell us what you want, let me just play you one of their new kits. The second team kit.
Why would anyone wear that?
Now go on. Now you can say about the first team kit.
Thanks, Tim.
So because it's rugby league and all the things I mentioned before, they don't like tucking in their shirts. And for whatever reason it is, they've done the whole photo shoot without tucking in their shirts. Everyone else usually tucks in their shirts. That makes a huge difference. And they've got full hoops. Well done, you've got full hoops, and that's a massive improvement. But why have you put that tiny little line around?
That's what they used to have back in the day, isn't it? In the era you're talking about, when Phil Vickery was doing those bullocking runs.
Well, back in the day, they had just full hoops, and then you got these little ones. But let's not lose sight of it. It's a huge, huge improvement, and I massively approve. I think
I approve. It's such a big improvement on what they had last year and their two earlier kits.
Let me show you the old Cotton Traders kit that Trevor Woodman and Phil Vickery used to wear. It has got that thin black band.
It doesn't have. It's not like that though, is it? It's slightly different.
I like the hoops. I only have two issues with it. The Mitsubishi Motors logo
looks like it's been ironed on, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's unnecessarily big with a gigantic white square around it. And I've said it before, but these are big strapping lads. Why are the arms baggy?
Well, I can answer that question.
Go on.
Well, it's rugby league, isn't it?
Rugby league players are smaller than...
No, rugby league guys like to work out on their arms. They've done is they've basically made up a baggy neckline and a baggy arm. So that A, you're going to do more shrugs, and B, do more arm curls. And I approve.
Some curls for the girls.
And why shouldn't they? Why shouldn't the female rugby fans get what they want for a change?
No, but look, Charlie Sharples is nice and tight on the arms, if you look at that. And then...
Oh, good. That one's not bad.
And then Rob Cook has got really baggy arms. It's two different cuts. I don't get it.
Yeah.
Well, no, it's just an incentive, isn't it, to get in the gym?
Charlie Sharples hasn't got big guns, has he?
It looks like he does to me.
Not particularly.
He's doing all right.
Yeah.
I like it. I think it's a nice little incentive, and a lot of other rugby clubs should be encouraged to do it.
It's like done, Gloucester.
Like when Sean O'Brien tried on Johnny Sexton's Ireland shirt to stretch out the arms to try and get him into the gym.
I still remember how pathetic it was when Jermaine Jenas played for Tottenham in that Kappa kit.
The skin tight.
And he had to wrap electrical tape around his arms because it was too baggy.
And it was a skin tight kit.
Pathetic.
His pipe cleaner arms.
In other Stats Watch, Leicester Tigers unveiled their change kit as well, which is a replica of their home kit, but it's silver and black. Other colours.
Oh, it's not white fading into green then, rather than green fading into white.
Block colours.
Let's have a look then. Let's try not to be too disgusted by us.
Yeah.
That one.
Their new home kit could have been good if they hadn't got that fade.
No, it couldn't have been good. It was a disaster from start to finish.
That is much better than the other one.
Yeah.
Is that it?
That's much better.
Let's have a look.
That one, the silver and black with the green detail.
Oh, not that one.
Hang on.
I mean, it's decent.
I think that's good.
Hang on.
I mean, we
as an away kit.
Yeah, that's all right.
It's all right. It's not great. The green with black, I'm not a fan. Like when Dean Richards had his Newcastle Falcons, the one fleece he used to wear, which was black with green, that always looked horrible together. So I'm not a fan of black and green
together.
One
of the most stupid kits I've ever seen, home and away kits, was Borussia Dortmund. I know I keep talking about football. And they had like a big... Well, just imagine you had a yellow top, a solid yellow top, and had one black stripe across the chest. And then their away kit was a solid black top with one yellow stripe across the chest.
Oh, so I'm quite a fan of inverse.
Yeah, the negative.
No, because if you're playing someone either in black or yellow, it just wouldn't work. I think every away kit should be white. Unless your home kit is white, then you can have a different top.
We'll have to do a when all the stash is unveiled. We'll have to do it with the World Cup as well. What we should do is the World Cup of stash, and we'll do the exact fixtures and the pulls, but we'll pick purely on stash.
But we already know what the final is, unless they're in the same part of the draw.
Well, exactly. If they're Italy, in the same part of the draw.
Oh,
well, no, we don't
France,
know. France is nice, but New Zealand is lovely. Oh, New Zealand is nice.
No, no. I mean, any Canterbury kit is obviously nicer by 5%.
Oh, no, the Adidas ones are good as
I
well.
I mean, imagine how much I would like it if Scotland kit was made by Canterbury with BT Sport on the front of it. I'll buy one tomorrow.
The New Zealand with those boots as well. Oh, that does look...
The matte black boots.
Well, I think a final would probably be Italy versus Argentina change kits.
By the way, to talk about football again, did you clock the colour of the boots? So we were at the Manchester City Chelsea game. These two were lording it up in hospitality, so I'm surprised you actually went out and watched the game. I was working my socks off on the tannoy. Anyway,
we would have working your socks off on the tannoy. You were in hod carrying.
We would have watched it in the box, but it was only standard definition TV.
I know,
such a disappointment.
But the boots have got to ridiculous neon levels with pink and lime green, and it is going to go full circle.
Well,
they will get back to the black.
Adidas used to have a boot for footballers, which was just a pure black boot.
Yeah.
Vieira used to wear it back in the day.
I used to quite like the World Cups. They're not a World Cup.
Are they still sold?
Adidas World Cups.
Yeah, that's what I used to wear, Adidas World Cups.
The problem was I found they were too soft for rugby because they're like really supple kangaroo leather. Mm. They used to get torn to bits.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
There you go.
You should do Jay's trick. Jay spent about 4 years taking his boots back every 3 months, going, these are perished. And then he'd go and get a new pair, and then he'd take them back.
Let me tell you exactly how to do this for anyone out there who needs new boots. If you're lucky enough to have one around, go to a Decathlon.
They are superb.
Right? Go get yourself a pair of Kipster boots, because when you return them, they can't deny selling them to you, because they're the only place that sell Kipster boots. And you change them once every 6 weeks. I've been through 14 pairs of boots.
Manufacturer's defect.
Yeah. Well, at one point, I thought of setting up a Twitter account called My Kipsters, and just taking a picture of them after every game, and then replacing them time and time again.
So you're openly admitting on the podcast right now that you used to take your boots back every 6 weeks and say, look,
they were broken. I mean, look, they're rugby boots, they should last a season, right? And if they don't last a season, you're going to replace them. Happens that my initial 17 quid investment lasted me 3 years.
more
fool you, Kipster.
So we've done Gloucester, we've done Leicester, we've pretty much done everything, boys, on our list of things to do. But
not everything.
I was going to say, next on our agenda, we've been going through the Aviva Premiership sides and picking our best 15 ever to have worn that shirt. And we've been going down the league sequentially. JB, despite being in a hospital bed last week, brought us the Sale Sharks 15. I'm going to bring us now the Harlequins 15. I just need to get the music.
Do we have music for this?
Yeah.
It's
the Karate Kid music, isn't it? You're the best around. Do you see what I did there?
Yeah, very good.
See, it's almost like we plan this stuff. Oh, there we go. Got it. Here we go. Time for Quins. And I will start by saying, if you're a Quins fan, I'm no doubt at all there'll be players we've missed. So at Rugby Podcast on Twitter, tell us of the people we missed. And then for next week, it'll be who came
Wasps,
below them? Gloucester.
No, we've already done Wasps.
Gloucester.
Oh, yeah, we have. Gloucester.
And it's to you, Phil, to do Gloucester next week.
Cool.
So if you're a Gloucester fan, we like your kit. What about your players? In the professional era, who are the people that have worn the shirt best? At Rugby Podcast on Twitter. But two Harlequins. I thought this was going to be really, really hard to pick. I found it easy. And the reason it was hard in some respects is because I couldn't find players.
Did you find
it
a bit disappointing?
A little bit, I'll be honest.
Mm. Yeah, I think you're right there.
So I'll run you through my 15. The best people in the professional era to have ever worn a Harlequin shirt. Starts off, one of the best front rows you're going to find anywhere. Joe Marler, Keith Wood, and Jason Leonard.
Very, ideal. Very good.
Ideal.
Yeah. Second row, Gareth Llewellyn, the old Wales stalwart.
Mm.
They could do with a player like him now, like with James Horwill. He'll fill that void. And I was struggling second rows. I went, well, they've actually not had that many great second rows. I thought George Robson, because he's been he was so solid for them for so many years.
This is where we disagree.
He wasn't exceptional. He was just a great club man who had a few good seasons.
Garrett Morgan would be for me. An absolute monster. 26 Australia caps, 80-odd caps for Harlequins, and an amazing ball carrier.
I wasn't totally aware massively of him. So
which tells you all you need to know about when you were creating this team.
Yeah. So, yeah, fine, we'll go with him then. And a back row, now it gets a bit better here. I've put in England's captain, Chris Robshaw, as the best seven ever to have played for Quins in the professional era.
Okay.
Oh, I'd go with that.
David Wilson would push him.
And I've put Nick Easter as the best number eight to have worn the Harlequin shirt in the professional era.
Yeah.
For longevity and his what he's done and the way he's played. And there's some pretty good players that Zinzan Brook played for Quins. And so, did Tony Diprose and Chris Sheesby. So I thought one of those
guys...
Just
before you anoint Chris Robshaw, let me put a argument forward for David Wilson. 79 Australia caps, and I believe he was captain of Australia. That's pretty impressive stuff.
He did. I'm just looking at him. Moved to play for Harlequins in 2000, and a serious knee injury in 2001 forced him to retire.
It's bloody good.
He was a good player for Australia. He didn't get the chance to play.
Hey, he played well.
He did win the European Shield final, so the second tier European.
Chris Robshaw lifted the Premiership.
Yeah,
I
would definitely go for Robshaw. Robshaw's been number one there since 2007, something like that.
I don't know. I can't pick. Quins fans, tell me who should complete that back row. Easter, Robshaw, and then one of the old names. Chris Sheesby was a brilliant offloading. I mean, he was in the World Cup Sevens winning team with Lawrence Dallaglio. He's that kind of a player. But there was Tony Diprose as well. He's one of the coaches there now, Zinzan Brook as well. So one of those guys can fill in at six. The back line then. So some of the positions were quite easy. Danny Kerr at nine from Andy Gomersall's worth a shout as well.
Go for that.
Nick Evans at 10, obviously.
Is it locked in.
They've had some really good tens. And we were in the car on the way over here, Phil. You just said, Quinn, when you look at it, that's what Quins do. They get a great 10.
Great 10. Yeah. Mentioned it, Thierry Lacroix,
the French,
who played in the 95-99 World Cup, scored a lot of points for France, and Andrew Mertens as well.
Yeah,
there are some clubs
Paul Burke.
It's very clear where they spend their money. Yeah. Like, for instance, Leicester Tigers, I always think it's a 12.
And props.
12s and props. With Harlequins, undoubtedly it is 10s.
Yeah.
Oh, don't forget Craig Chalmers.
Yeah. He had a spell there.
A small spell. Small disappointing spell.
Centres, right. Here's where it gets difficult, because I think of Harlequins and I think champagne rugby, creative players, flair. Other than Will Greenwood.
Who's super.
Who is outstanding, and we're getting to any best team if he was a player there. I can't think of a centre partner that's worthy of wearing that shirt.
Well, why does no one ever rate or talk about Stuart Abbott?
He was Wasps.
He went to Quins. He finished his career. I'm sure he did.
Did he?
Yeah, but he spent the bulk of his time at Wasps.
I hope I'm not wrong here. And actually, if I am wrong, David James can always play 13.
He played a season at Quins.
A season.
There you go. Probably was that not his knee injury season?
But I was surprised how few good outside centres they've had. It's such a good attacking position, you think of.
Yep. And I wonder if their reputation was really more in the amateur days, the Will Carling kind of days.
Yeah.
My favourite ever Will Carling highlight. Have you seen it when he's held up?
Well,
over
Will
the
Carling's
line?
An inside centre, really. I know he wore 13 for England, but.
Yeah, but all.
Goscott was the outside centre.
Agreed. But on the other hand, Greenwood would play 13 quite a lot. So you can mix and match, but it doesn't matter because Carling wasn't really in the Premier in the professional era.
Pro era.
I still enjoy watching.
So
him
again,
being held
Harlequins,
up.
Who's a centre worthy of getting that shirt? At Rugby Podcast, tweet me and I'll correct myself next week. Wingers, it's a shootout between Hugo Monier. He's got to get in.
Definitely.
He's
just
one
because
of
his clothes.
because of his style.
He's a good bloke.
Looks incredible with his shirt off.
And a shirt on as well.
wow. A month full season.
A potent finisher. Looks great when he's wearing two buttons undone on his shirt and a little pocket square out of his jacket.
What a guy.
So the other wing, David Strettle or Dan Luger?
Dan Luger for me.
I'd probably go Luger as well.
All right, Luger on the wing. Mike Brown to finish off 15. Pretty tidy 15, but I was surprised. Some gaps in the...
I
wonder if you'll start seeing more and more gaps. I've got to figure... I don't know.
The lower you get down.
Even when we get to Newcastle, that'll be a solid team.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
It'll be a really solid team.
We just read out the team that won the very first Premiership, wouldn't
you? Yeah. Pat Lam.
Mavainga Tuigamala.
Yeah, that's the one I'm thinking of.
Right, so next week it is going to be... What did we say? Gloucester.
For me.
That will be a good one. I wonder if you'll miss the best scrum half that they've ever had.
Probably.
I'm sure you will, because he was there when he was 19, I think, 18, 19.
Then oh, Yashvili.
Yashvili.
Oh, yeah.
And Gerard Mercer, is it Mercer on? I always get confused. Is Mercer on? Ludovic Mercier.
It's a kicking machine.
Yeah, they had to extend the posts for Ludovic Mercier.
Oh, the
Mercier.
Height of them, yeah, you're right. It's a good fact, actually.
No, cheers.
Fact. At Rugby Podcast on Twitter. Right. What, have we got anything left to do?
Yeah, the game's next week.
Oh, let's do that firstly then. So, the matchups that we have, Wales are back in action, JB.
Who have we got? Ireland again?
Let's get the fixtures up.
Let's go sequentially. So, on Saturday, Italy plays Scotland.
Yeah, I might be busy for that.
Scotland put in a good account of themselves, though, didn't they?
Very much so. Yeah. I mean, I say that in jest, but I was actually very impressed with what they did. I love David Denton.
A lot of positives.
More positives than there are Scots.
do you know my little David trivia thing?
David's trivia.
Which three Davids would play for Zimbabwe in the back row?
I do know.
You'd be amazed, Tim.
David Denton, obviously.
Yep.
Yeah.
David. Don't know.
Ewers. David.
Oh yeah.
Hancock.
Oh, really?
Imagine that back row.
Wow.
We would genuinely be talking about Zimbabwe as a force.
Zimbabwe at the weekend, did you see their fixture?
No.
They got beat by 80 points to 6 by Namibia.
Did they?
Yes.
Ooh. Well, they wouldn't do if they had the first choice back row out.
That back row could be a world-class back row.
It is a world-class back row. And I'm sure Simon Shaw would put in a quick appearance.
And Mujati.
There's loads of them.
It is the reverse fixture, France against Ireland
France against England,
it's 8 o'clock on Saturday.
Yeah,
I've got to make a correction actually. Wales aren't in action next week.
I didn't think
they were. It's 2 weeks time. So it's just Italy, Scotland and then France, England.
Georgia are playing Newcastle.
Oh yeah.
Are they really?
They are. Oh yeah, sorry, that's the following week as well. Apologies.
Let's talk about Georgia Newcastle a second. This conspiracy for me continues about the teams on in the first and second tier. And Georgia, I know they're kind of in the second tier, but they don't get the exposure like a Fiji does or a Samoa does or anyone else. And I think with a bit of development, they'd be an actual force. The fact they've got to go and play Newcastle instead of, you know, an Italy or someone.
It's good for Newcastle because they can just have conversations with them. I know a lot of their props already play for top 14 sides and whatnot.
Yeah.
If there's anyone under the radar in their squad, they can have a good old look at them.
Yeah. Yes, quite.
Yeah, and what's the stat about the Georgian players playing in France?
Something like 47% of them are props. Something.
Way more than that. It's like 70% of the Georgian players playing in the top 14
weird,
are
like
props.
Only tight head props.
A very specific kind of man comes from Georgia.
Yeah. Have you ever been to Georgia or anywhere like
have
that?
Have I ever been to Georgia?
No, because I've not been
to Germany.
No, I know it's not quite the same part of the world, but when I went to Hungary, and you went to Hungary for your stag do.
Oh, yeah, I did.
There's a lot of big men.
Don't remember. I tell you what, there's a lot of big men in Latvia. But they were Russians rather than Latvians. It's huge.
I've been to a Georgian restaurant in Islington called Tbilisi.
Oh, right.
And the waitress did look like she could have played tight head prop.
Wow. Sounds hot.
So we'll talk about that one next week, obviously. So it's just Italy, Scotland. I mean,
England, France.
That's a good game for both teams, Italy, Scotland. That's a good...
It very much depends what kind of team.
I'll wait for you to finish. I'll look at the score, and if it's interesting, I'll go through the highlights of it. I don't know what to expect from either team, to be fair.
But we will certainly be watching France versus England.
At 9 o'clock. I like the times of these games.
In Paris, so that's 9 o'clock their time.
Which is the same as here, because it's British summertime, I think. I think
it'll be 9 o'clock.
No, they move their clocks when we move ours, don't they?
I'm not sure.
I think it's the same time.
I think we might be the same.
Yeah, anyway, regardless, I expect a much sterner test for England. But it depends also team.
They are an hour ahead.
It depends what team that they put out.
Well, I think we're going to see some of the big guns for England. And I think we'll see a lot more of the big guns for France. It will definitely be mixed up, but I can't wait. So where do you think we're at with the cut from the squad? I think probably, like you said, Phil, if Jamie George does a decent job, then that's the hooking one decided.
Yeah, Dickie's done for now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Henry Slade, with his performance and his ability to play at 10 and be a utility player, I think Sippers. Puts the nail in the coffin for Sippers.
Yeah. I tell you who played very well, which will be upsetting for him, is Goode.
Goode,
I thought Goode was really, really good.
Yeah, he was.
Because for me, it's Sippers or Goode. It's a 10 who can play 15 or a 15 who can play 10, well, particularly when you've got Slade who can go 10 and Nolan Watson who can go 15. Yeah. And I think Goode, on that performance, might have just edged it.
I think so. I wouldn't be surprised if Goode starts ahead of Brown.
I think you've got a shootout between... Because I thought Cruz again looked... He's busy. He's always so
I like
busy
Cruz,
when he plays.
And he's massive in real life.
Dave Atwood, I think it's a shootout between Atwood and Cruz.
I thought
really?
I thought Cruz was better than Parlin, but we've already had this discussion that Parlin, if he doesn't start, he's not on the bench.
Yeah.
But you've got him in the squad because he will jump into starting.
We need to have a good look at Laws and Launchbury because we are assuming at the moment they are head and shoulders above everyone else. But we don't know until we see him play again.
And Launchbury's only had one or two games at the back end of the season for Wasps following his injury. So that's a good point.
Yeah, I mean, like Cruz isn't nailed on by any means, but he's doing really well.
Yeah, so that's still up in the air, who's going to go from the locks?
You know my rule, yeah? Which is, once all the cuts are made, the Barbarians can start picking their team.
Which we will do when all the teams have been announced.
Yes!
There's no point making predictions or anything because we don't know what the team's going to be. And even then, you don't know. It's more dissecting the fallout from it, which we will do next week.
Yes. And it'll be good next week to get some combinations together. And I mean, like... Maybe the starting back three playing together that you're thinking. Maybe the starting back row or the starting half backs. Just not all the combinations, but one or two of the combinations that you're expecting to start, get them playing together.
And we'll be back talking about that next weekend at Rugby Podcast. In the meantime, subscribe on iTunes. If you subscribe, then you don't even have to think about it. We'll just make sure it gets delivered straight to you.
Small announcement. Me and Phil... You're not going, but me and Phil are. You're going to watch the World Cup final in Bath. So if anyone else is watching the World Cup final in Bath or has any recommendations of where we can go in Bath...
Or if you're from Bath and you just want to come and meet us for a drink...
Please let us know.
On the 31st of October.
Tell them which pub they should occupy and where.
Yes.
The great thing, because I lived in Bath for 6 years, and the amazing thing about Bath is you don't even... You go to any pub... And there's rugby on.
Yeah, I love it there.
That is such a special thing.
It feels like it's a town built for me.
We're in Manchester and I had to watch a World Cup quarter-final that England were playing in 2007, I think it was. And I had to watch that on a 14-inch television upstairs in Walkabout whilst they had on the massive floor-to-ceiling, like 30-foot big tall screen, 20-foot tall screen, I had to watch... Vauxhall Conference football.
Oh my god!
Horrible.
Unbelievable. Well, that's Manchester disgusting. For you.
Let me just tell you what our Saturday is going to entail, so you can be nice and jealous.
Well, no, because
Bath's four in the morning.
It's a long way off.
It's a long, long way off.
If
you got to go to the pump rooms and have an afternoon tea at the pump rooms.
Well, we won't do that on Sunday. But if Wales and England aren't playing, we get to watch Jamie Roberts versus Sam Burgess in the game before the World Cup.
Oh,
that's exciting!
Wow. right, at Rugby Podcast on Twitter, subscribe on iTunes, listen on Acast, and we'll be back next time. Nice one, Phil.
Cheers, Tim.
Top work, JB.
Thank you, Tim.
In a bit. Oh, how's your butt, by the way?
My back is okay. It's very,
your
very
butt.
Sore.
Your butt. I like how you're correcting me. My back's fine, thanks.
My back is okay. It's lower back.
And if you're not sure what we're talking about, listen to the first 10 minutes of last week's podcast when JB explains how he got impaled on a tree.
Yeah.
Right, next time. See you next time in a bit.
Bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win. And also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.